Today's message is really incredibly simple and, I believe, life-changing. And it has to do with looking, noticing, focusing, and beholding. And as we notice, if you take a look at the scripture passages that you'll see on the bulletin insert, you can see that they focus on the subject of what are we looking at? And we see the first reference, the first scripture passage, is actually just one word, and that word is watch. And that word occurs, as you can see, 19 times just in the Gospels alone. The next word is behold. And that word, second scripture passage, occurs 98 times just in the Gospels. Then along those lines, Jesus says for the next passage, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Now we hear that and we would naturally ask ourselves, well, see what and hear what? Because obviously Jesus knows that we see and hear all sorts of things in general, but what in particular is he talking about? And then he says, consider the lilies of the field and consider the birds of the air. This is our scripture passage. Scripture passages, and may God bless our hearing and our seeing and our understanding. So these last 2 weeks, I did something that I'm very aware that is not everybody's cup of tea, and that is I took a mini sabbatical, and I took a pause on a very long road trip, driving 5,000 miles in round trip in 2 weeks, I know. And we drove out west and back, and the destination was the desert of Moab, Utah. And out there in Moab, my son Parker and I, we did some off-road jeeping, which I know is also not everybody's cup of tea. And some people say, actually a lot of people say, you drive all the way out there to see a bunch of rocks, dry land, it's nothing, it's barren. And from one perspective, it's absolutely true. But I guess it all depends on what you see, right? Because to some, what looks desolate and boring and bare, when my son and I look at it, we're absolutely enthralled and in love and engaged, because when we are looking at those rocks, it's like magic. Because to us, it's like looking at and being in a time machine. And we are blown away looking at hundreds of millions of years of the construction of the earth. We're looking at massive land shifts, both of the earth building up layer by layer, and then you can also see layer by layer as the land gets carved out, and all that is right before your eyes. Did you know, for example, that Utah used to be on the equator, and it shifted over time, shifted 90 degrees, as did our whole country. That Utah, as was the massive part of Middle America, had been an inland sea. It had been under hundreds of feet of water. And now, when you're there, you're 5,700 feet above sea level, and we were up on a ledge, and we were looking down 800 feet, so we were at about 5,700 feet. We're looking down at 5,100 feet. And there, with 800 feet high, you can see these magnificent, curvaceous, water-carved rock formations and mountains at heights that you can't imagine had been under the sea hundreds of millions of years before humans ever existed. And so you're looking back in time. And in some places, we look down, and right before you, there's dinosaur prints on the rocks, just sitting right there on top of the rocks. And this was after the sea had receded hundreds of millions of years before that, then the dinosaurs came, and then you're looking at their prints and looking at something that existed 150 million years even before the very first human being came. So when some people say barren rocks and nothing, it all depends on what you've seen. So on the road trip, I was driving about 10 hours a day. Most of it was myself because I met Parker out there. He was already in Colorado. And you have a lot of time to think. You have a lot of time to reflect and do some things that you wouldn't normally do and think about. And at one point, I was in Kansas, and I was looking at the white dotted lines on the roadway, the passing lane. And I just happened to notice that I was looking at the left-hand dotted lines on the driver's side of the car, and I noticed that my car just kind of by itself was kind of hanging close to those lines. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And without doing anything differently with my driving, then I thought, out of curiosity, I'm going to look at those dotted lines on the right-hand side, on the passenger side of the lane. And I did that, didn't change anything, and all of a sudden I noticed that the Jeep is now drawn to the right-hand side of the lane. I looked at the center, and as you can guess, the Jeep just drifted on its own and just stuck right in the center of the lane. With that, I remembered my motorcycle training from a year ago. So I had renewed my license, and with that training, when I first was riding motorcycles, we would just kind of jump on and hope that we would, you know, stay alive, but now they actually train people. And in the training, they tell you that when you're taking corners, especially tight corners, that first thing you need to do is you actually need to intentionally turn your head first, and then the motorcycle will follow. And first I didn't believe that. I thought it was kind of a little bit of baloney, but I tried it and it actually works. So that all got me thinking about our lives and how whatever we're looking at, it pulls us towards that direction. And that too is a fundamental part of our faith. So that's the first thing got me thinking. The second is that because God gave us this wonderful gift that is our neck, and it puts our head on a swivel. And we have that so that we can actually turn our head one way or the other, and we can choose the direction that we're going to look at. We're going to choose the direction that we can go based on what we're looking at. Which leads us to the third thing, which is I thought about our faith. And ever since our faith began, this has always been a primary focus of our faith, to intentionally choose what you're looking at, see clearly, and by choosing, direct our life. A lot of spiritual teachers, meditation teachers, have put it this way. They say our consciousness is like the beam of a flashlight, and it's up to us to take that beam and to choose where we're going to direct our consciousness, where we're going to aim our awareness with that beam of light. And the question is, do we just kind of let the world throw anything our way and go for it? We turn on TV and we just, you know, watch show after show and, you know, download all sorts of things into our mind or our soul. I'll tell you another thing with the driving was, I don't know if have any of you driven I-70? Midwest, a few of you, and you're driving Midwest and hundreds of miles of open space, and there's this beautiful scenery, and yet there's something else. Every couple of miles, billboards that are luring your attention, begging your attention, your consciousness, to say, look at this, think about this. And all sorts of billboards. Truck injury, call the hammer. Gentlemen's nightclub, live girls, 24 hours a day. Gun shows, real estate agents, call Maxine, Jesus saves. And one that I loved, come live in Ellis, Kansas. Trying to figure out, now I don't know how many people have moved to Ellis, Kansas based on that, but there are probably about six of those bulletin billboards. So obviously my focus wasn't all that great, wasn't laser beam, because I noticed these things, and I thought about all these things, the clamor for our attention. Every day, news, messages from our political parties, junk mail, good mail, catalogs, email, texts, Facebook, nonprofits that compete for our attention and our hearts and our money. And our faith recognizes that instead of being influenced by just whatever may win our attention for the moment, our faith says that, you know, for your own well-being, choose, watch, behold, consider, select. What are you looking at? And so, that's actually it this morning. It's simple. What are you filling your mind and your soul with? And what does our faith say about that? Steve Jobs, who it's fair to say was accomplished in his life, and he said, people think focus means saying yes to the thing you got to focus on. But he says that's not actually what it means at all. He said it means saying no to 100 other good ideas that there are. You have to pick carefully, he says. And I'm actually as proud of the things that I haven't done as the things I have done. Innovation, he says, is saying no to 1,000 things. And you know what? People who look for conspiracies, you'll find conspiracies. People who look for issues, either in themselves or in other people, you'll find issues. Along those lines, I love in your bulletin insert, it's in there, Einstein's quote, who said, stay away from negative people. They find a problem for every solution. We could be sitting here in the chapel, sitting on the beach. We could either be absorbing all of the wonderful wisdom and spirit and love, or we could be rehashing this morning's argument or yesterday's or last week's. You know, people who look for the bad find the bad. And that's actually a huge problem with law enforcement. Their job, God bless them, is to look for the bad all the time. And that creates a problem. Because in law enforcement, you are 7 times more likely to get killed from your own gun by suicide than you are by being shot from a bad guy. And that is what perspective can do for you. It has power, and it has a price. On the other hand, you take a look at the inserts that I put together somewhere in Middle America. I sent the information to Pam, and all these images are very intentional, and it offers a different intentional point of view. And these are images that I've collected over the years that I like to go back and look at and focus on. And they very simply lift me up. And I just wanted to share these with you as an example of a very intentional point of view. And when I see these, I save them so that I can go back and on purpose determine which direction I want to go. There's another name for that. And it's called spiritual practice. Intentionally choosing what you look at and where you want to go. And so I offer this to you. To watch, to behold, to consider the lilies of the field in your life. What are those things that are beautiful? Which way will you turn your head? Consider the birds of the air. What are those things that lift you up and that lift others up? Consider your neighbor. Behold your soul. How may you help? How might you create beauty? How may you love? And how may you, another quote that's in there, flood the world with your kindness. May you choose well, again and again. Happy summer. God bless you. Amen.